So, how are the European banks doing?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Early reports out of London show several Spanish banks have failed stress tests designed to exhibit the health of European banks. Last year, the U.S. ran similar tests on 19 of our banks here in this country. 10 of them came up short in capital. And yet the U.S. tests are now described as a success. So the so-called stress tests on the 90 European banks are meant to restore confidence there in the financial system. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports for Marketplace.
There was a lot of uncertainty when 10 US banks were told they needed to raise $75 billion immediately. But Jim O'Neill, the chief economist at Goldman Sachs, says it actually helped clear the air and gave the banks some credibility.
The whole recovery of global financial markets coincided with the timing of the stress tests. And so, particularly with the benefit of hindsight, it's now seen rather easily that that was one of the key things to helping bring around the recovery.
Like the US tests, European banks are being examined to see if they'd survive another downturn. But in Europe, there's some concern that the worst-case scenario being considered isn't bad enough.
I think it would be implausible for them to come out and say all 91 are just tickety-boo.
Sir Howard Davis is director of the London School of Economics. He says the banks that fail need to have a backup.
That was what was successful in the US. The markets were actually able to provide new capital for banks.
Test results will be posted with 2 hours left of US trading, so it could be an exciting end to the week on Wall Street. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
So why do we here in the United States care if European banks are doing all right? Economist Chris Lowe of FTN Financial says it's because the global financial system is intertwined.
If the European banks have to raise capital, it means they can make fewer loans. And that means the cost of loans goes up, not just for them, but for everyone globally. More expensive to borrow means fewer loans and a little slower economy.
Well, things not so slow, a little higher right now on Wall Street. Markets right now up generally under 0.5%. The Dow higher now by 19 points at 10,341. European shares right now mostly higher, under 0.5%. And in Asia, shares closed mixed today. It may still be far behind Facebook, but Twitter has been growing a lot lately. The social networking site now has 125 million users, with 300,000 people signing up every day. That's causing the Twitter system to freeze. Not so good for a site that's about instant communication, but there are some fixes in the work, as April Demboski reports.
Some Twitter users have become all too familiar with the fail whale. That's the pleasant cartoon image that translates to, your tweet is going nowhere. San Francisco business consultant Elizabeth Potts Weinstein gets it at the worst times, like when she's launching a new product.
Wish they would let us pay for something so we could have more reliable services. I understand it's free, so we can only expect so much, but we would pay for it. But they won't let us. So.
Right now, another company stores and manages Twitter servers. But Twitter will open its own data center near Salt Lake City this fall.
It's a little bit like building your own house versus moving into an apartment.
That's Twitter spokesman Matt Graves. He says the custom data center will give the company more capacity and more control.
This is the first of several data centers that we're going to be opening.
Twitter is the latest Bay Area company to build a data center in Utah. eBay and Oracle are both investing millions of dollars in the state. In San Francisco, I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
Today is reporter Scott Tong's last day in Shanghai. He spent 3.5 years covering China for Marketplace, crafting stories in a place that's seen some dramatic economic change. We thought we'd bring him in to share some notes with us as he's headed out the door. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Steve.
Scott, take us back to when you first arrived in Shanghai, just to give us sort of a clue as to how things are different there.
So we got here January 1, 2007, and I bought a map, and it's now obsolete. It tells you how much this place has changed. We have 4 new subway lines, 3 giant new shopping malls, and property prices per square meter in Shanghai have doubled. And the stock market has gone from 2,000 all the way up to 6,400 and back down to 2,000.
Which stories, Scott, over the years have fascinated you?
Well, last year, Steve, I was up in northern China in Shanxi province, and I met a coal miner there. Now, coal mining is one of the most dangerous jobs in China. 20 coal miners die on average every day here in China. Mm. And here's what was interesting. He said, you know, I wish my child could have one of those jobs that I used to have, to go all the way down in the bottom of the mine to make $1.50 an hour, because despite all the risks, it is really good money. So I think when we think about China and working conditions, what I found almost everywhere is people want these jobs.
Any last stops before you get out of there, Scott?
Well, if I have a little bit of time, I want to go to a place called the Park Hotel, which I never went to. My mom was born in Shanghai, and when she was a little girl, she used to go to the Park Hotel and have tea. That is supposed to be the central point of Shanghai, and then you see where it's grown. But, you know, a little bit of old Shanghai still remains, including the old Park Hotel. I'm going to go give it a shot.
That's great. Well, safe travels to you, Scott. Thank you for your service in Shanghai and in China and all your coverage there. And we wish you the best of luck as you come back home.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
And by the way, Scott continues his marketplace work in Washington, and a new China correspondent has already begun in Shanghai. Finally, all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
While the average Joe is hurting, 3M, Xerox, Halliburton, Coca-Cola, Caterpillar, all their bottom lines were killer. American Express, UPS, and their success is great, I guess, but over at the Central Banky, Ben Bernanke sounded cranky. Sales are drowsy, credit's lousy, housing pain is up again, so clearly there's this wide divide. Can these global firms provide the jobs to stop the slide and turn the tide? I can't decide. Democrats face the facts about the so-called carbon tax. There's no Republican that backs it. Since it lacks the vote, they axed it. And a study of summer vacation shows it's not a relaxation. Either we spend it working a lot or we fret about unanswered emails we've got. So if you're sitting under a coconut tree, and I hate to say this, do not go to marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.